We're going to jump in now to our teaching for today, and we're continuing our series called How to Make This the Best Year Ever. To give you kind of a recap, week one, we talked about our finances. We talked about that everything is God's and we are simply a steward of His resources. What are we going to do with our finances? How are we going to use those resources, those tools, to further His plan and His agenda and His goal? And then week two, last week, we talked about memorizing Scripture and having those Scriptures placed on our hearts so that when things come into our life or we go somewhere, we are able to remember the promises of God. And we said that when we lock Scripture on our heart, it helps us become more like Christ, it helps us feel closer to God, and it helps us have victory over sin. Today, we're going to transition to another part. And if you've missed anything, you can catch up at lhwc.org. That's the website. You can catch up on all of those and whatnot. My favorite, I know we're past it, but my favorite Christmas movie of all time is A Christmas Story. I love this movie. It tells a story of the little boy Ralphie and his pursuit of the perfect Christmas gift. The perfect Christmas gift is the Red Ryder BB gun. And over he's told, you're going to shoot your eye out, kid. And along the way, we meet Ralphie, his friends, his parents, and all of the adventures that Ralphie has. One of those adventures is we meet Ralphie and his friends on the playground. And during this encounter, the friends are all making a wager whether your tongue will stick to a frozen pole or not. I love this scene because it tells us a few things. Check it out.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right. Come
on, Karen. Flick's spine stiffened, his lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is next.
Flick who? I love that scene. I absolutely love that scene. And so it works. And it's 30 below zero today, windchill, so thank you for that. But it works. But everywhere we go, everybody we talk to, everything that we take in is an influence in our lives. Flick was influenced by all his friends to take it. And he's like, I dare you. I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. Right? And we're all influenced by something, a variety of people, a variety of things, a variety of places. Something is speaking into our lives constantly. We're all influenced. I love you, man. I love you. That's all right. Well, you're welcome here. I got the notes. You can... No? All right. I wonder what would happen if I asked for Siri to give us something, or Alexa, or whatever. But the reality is we're constantly influenced by somebody or something. And oftentimes we say, well, I'm not influenced by anybody. I am my own individual. We have these conversations a lot. Frankly, you're not as unique as you think. We are all influenced by somebody or something. Look at Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. See, we're all influenced. And the opposite is true, though. Did you know that? You influence somebody else. The people you come in contact with, the places you go, the things that you do influence somebody else. And oftentimes we'll kind of dismiss it. Oh, I'm not that important. Yeah, you are. You influence somebody. Other people are looking how to gain more influence, and they're seeking that out. So many times and so many things and so many decisions we make are influenced based on other people. There's good influences and bad influences. That whole eating Tide Pod things, that's a bad influence. Don't eat Tide Pods. That's silly. Don't play chicken with the cars in the street. That's a bad influence, right? We often have good influence. We've been talking about a couple. We talked about how to have healthy finances. We talked about how to put scripture on our heart. There are good influences and bad influences, right? It happens all of the time. So today we're going to talk about the next habit and how to make this the best year ever. The next habit we're going to talk about is talking about reading our Bible. How do we have a daily time with God to have that influence in our lives? See, when we read scripture regularly, we allow God to be that primary influencer. We allow God to speak into our lives and to our hearts, change our actions, change our words, change the way we engage in this world. And the Bible has a lot to talk about influence. Let's look at this. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I love it. In this passage, we actually see two climaxes happening within just that short little passage. And it starts by warning us not to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, that sounds a little aggressive, but so let me define this. Wicked is simply those who don't factor God into their lives. There's nothing outright, blatantly evil, horrible. It's just God is not a factor. They're not influenced by God. They don't think about God. They don't care about God. And so when we talk about walking with that, the idea is quite simple. When we get advice, when we pursue wisdom, don't pursue it from somebody who isn't themselves seeking counsel from God. Our influence should not come from those people. Because when we seek wisdom and counsel from those people, it'll lead us, this is that climax, this is that progression, it'll lead us to the next step where it says walking or standing in the way of sinners. Here's the idea with the sinners. A sinner is somebody who is blatantly standing opposed to God. It is somebody who is doing an outwardly intentional sin. And it could be in any number of things. Everybody's got their different things. Drunkenness, lying, cheating, stealing, all those things. That outward and intentional act of disobedience. That's what that sinner there is talking about. So when we seek counsel apart from God, and we're pursuing it, don't seek it from people who aren't connected with God, because soon you'll be standing there listening to somebody who is blatantly doing something against him. And when we start doing that, when we start stopping, when we stand and listen, we start taking in that personality. We start taking on those characteristics. We start being influenced. And from there, when we stop, when we stand and listen, we go to the next phase and we just get really settled in to those ideas. And we take a seat. And we listen and we absorb. That's that place of comfort. That's that position of acceptance where this is what it is. And it's if we follow the influence of the ungodly, the truth is at some point we're just going to get to the point of God isn't a part of us. He isn't a part of us. And when we sit at that point, when he talks about sitting with this position of a scoffer, the scoffer is that one who intentionally mocks and ridicules God or religion or following Jesus. They're the one who will intentionally be opposed to and fight Jesus and fight religion. See that progression of influence from walking to standing to sitting. And that's what we're cautioned against. I want to read verse 1 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the sway of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers. That's what the progression looks like. Maybe at first we're just kind of walking by, just entertaining these ideas. We're taking in the world around us, kind of listening, kind of not. My wife hates to go for walks with me. Not because she doesn't like me. I think she likes me enough. But the truth is, when we go for a walk, we don't just walk. Like, she has to get somewhere. Hear this? She has this thing in her mind, like she has somewhere to go, somewhere to be, and I'm just like, hey, let's go for a stroll. And she accuses me, I don't know why she accuses me of lollygagging. I don't get it. when clearly I'm dilly-dallying. I mean, I just want to enjoy the walk, right? But she has some place to go. Now, but when you're on a walk, you're having a conversation, you know, if you can get a breath in because you're huffing and trying to keep up. But if you're just having a conversation, you're just engaging. It's not really serious, nothing crazy, right? It reminds me like this. You ever go to the mall and in the middle of the aisle are all those kiosks selling you like fancy oils from Israel video game console that you'll never use and the most impressive curling iron you'll never need, right? You ever see those? That's kind of what I'm thinking here. So you're walking by and they're trying to get your attention. Hey, try this lotion, right? It's like, do I need lotion, right? Get this lotion, just try it. And as you're walking by and they're giving their spiel, you have a decision to make. Will I stop and test it and listen, or will I keep going? And if we decide to stop, we're going to stop. We're going to listen to this product. Like, yeah, that's an amazing curling iron. I need it, right? And we stop and we start to allow them to influence us. And before we know it, we're sitting in the chair getting a makeover, and we don't know what's happening. But then all of a sudden we realize, oh, I've got to have this. I've got to have this toy. I've got to have this makeup. I've got to have this curling iron, right? And we have allowed them to influence us to the point of determining our decision. It sounds weird, but that's kind of what I thought about with this progression. We have a decision to make as we're walking through life and through faith. And it's just, all right, Scripture tells us something else. We're to do something else and to separate from that. Proverbs 4. Don't do as the wicked do and don't follow the path of the evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. That's what I love to do with those kiosks. Just keep moving. Don't make eye contact. Just keep moving, right? That's what I love to do. Now, this is the transition. This is the big but in the story. This is where God says, okay, don't do this. Instead, do this. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates day and night. The other night we had our winter football meeting with the players coming in and getting ready for the spring. And I was really excited. We got to meet the players, connect with them, see the transfers, connect with those that I influenced throughout the year. It was a great night. Meeting was over. I go home. I kind of wind down my day. I go to bed, and I have dreams about football. Like, so I go to the night, and I have great conversations. I talk about football, and then I go to sleep, and I dream about football. And it was a little weird, I got to be honest with you. Not all bad, but as I got to thinking about it that day, that's what I think the author's telling us here. I think that's what the author is telling us to do. Rather than walking, standing, or sitting in the council of the ungodly, we should be delighting and reflecting on what God has to tell us all the time. It should invade our jobs. It should invade our thoughts throughout the day. It should invade our conversations. Yeah, even the things we dream about. Scripture talks countless times about God using dreams. So how do we know who we should or shouldn't be influenced by? How do we know who we or what we should or should not be influenced by? What do we meditate on? So let me ask you this question. This isn't a negative. When was the last time, think about this, that you felt just truly happy? Like there was something that was just so happy. Think about that experience. Think about what it made you feel. Think about what it made you experience. The words you said, the words you received, the things that you did. I think that's what God is asking us to experience in his word. To experience when we connect with him. See, there's delight in it. There's pleasure in it. There's joy in it. It's not, we're not supposed to go and read scripture and it's just distasteful. It's boring. It's hard. Now I get it. We're reading stories that are hard to understand sometimes. I get it. But the word of God should be a delight. Look, there's some examples. Look at this in Joshua 1:8. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Look at this, Psalm 77. Those wonderful deeds are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. Constantly in our thoughts. Last one, Proverbs 15. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil. See, to meditate on the word of God means that we pursue to understand it. We pursue to understand God's heart, that what God is speaking to us and God wants to tell us, not our desires, not what we want out of it, not what we want it to say, but what God truly wants us to know, what God is wanting to us to understand. And we are going to allow the Holy Spirit of God, dare I say, break you? If you've never had God and the Holy Spirit break down a fundamental belief of the Holy Spirit, of the Scripture and of your understanding, I challenge you to allow Him to do that with you. It's hard, it's scary, but it is so worth it. When we open ourselves to say, God, what do you want from this? Help me see you. Help me see this world. Help me to experience you in a whole new way. It says day and night. That's constantly. It should permeate everything we have. It means we have a habit. We have a habit of engaging and coming close to God. We have a habit of connecting with Him, a habit of pursuing God in Scripture. Now, we've been talking that habits are incredibly difficult to change. Right? Changing a habit. My parents smoked for most of my childhood, and we pleaded with them to stop. And for getting them to break that habit, break that addiction that they had, was incredibly difficult. Now, that's one example, but it's the simple example of waking up a half hour earlier, right? Cutting back on a certain drink, exercising, reading Scripture. All of these habits are difficult, and they're not going to be easy. So, but the idea is that we set aside the craziness of life, set aside all that other stuff for a time, whatever that time period looks like, and just allow God to speak to us. Speak to us through His Scriptures, speak to us through prayer and engagement, and allow Him into our daily lives. It's an intentionally focused time with God. You want the best year ever is give time regularly to God. See, when we meditate on Him, when we meditate on what He means, what He wants, the things start to invade us. The influence in our lives starts to shape us in the way that He is directing. And so when we allow that, the Holy Spirit to speak through Scripture, it's going to influence everything. It's going to influence how we view the world, how we view our coworkers, how we view our spouses, how we understand ourselves. It's not going to only happen in different areas. It's going to happen at different times. Look what it says in Psalm 63. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. When was the last time you allowed God to keep you up at night? Not the work you have to do, not the stress of life, but allow God to break something in you that it just keeps you up, that you can't get it off of your mind. Look at Psalm 119. Your decrees have been the theme of my songs wherever I have lived. So how do we make this the best year ever? We're going to understand that God's purpose is for our finances. We're going to allow and memorize Scripture, and we're going to will allow Scripture to penetrate our lives through an intentional time with Him. I think one of the problems, honestly, that we all have, and I am just as guilty of this, is that the only time we pull out Scripture is when we have it on the screen on Sunday morning, or if you're a teenager, that it's on Wednesday night. And the only time that we do that is even it's on the screen. When was the last time, this is not a negative, please hear me on this. When was the last time we opened our Bible? There is a reality that we don't allow God to permeate our lives. And if we don't do that, we allow other voices to influence us more than Him. So, if we read Scripture regularly, it's going to be on our minds and our hearts constantly. And when we do that, He's going to start bringing things up. When we memorize that Scripture, when we read that Scripture, He's going to be able to bring that stuff up throughout our lives. It may not be what we read this morning, maybe what we read today or this afternoon. We're like, okay, God, if you say so, and it doesn't connect. But like 3 or 4 months, a year later, all of a sudden we're like, whoa, wait a minute. But we're allowing God to speak into our lives when we become that Psalm 1 verse 2 type of person. We're setting ourselves up to have the best year ever. All right, so let's get practical. Let's talk about the realities of life. Let's oftentimes we read scripture, it can be a little difficult, right? I'm working my way through Leviticus and all of these laws, right? Like drain the blood from the animal, don't touch the fat, don't touch the bed, it's like, okay, I get it, God. So what is it behind? I understand not everything all the time is easy to comprehend or exciting, but I want to give us an awareness of scripture. Look at 2 Timothy. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize that what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. So all of scripture is from God. So let me help us by giving us some practical understanding. The first practical tip we're going to have is get a copy of the Bible. Straightforward. There should be a Bible in your chair. You can take that home with you if you don't have one. If you want something else, we have we have like a study Bible we can give you, a new believer's Bible. Our goal is to get you the Word of God. If you are a teenager or a young person, we have Bibles specifically for you. Just ask. We are not stingy with giving away Bibles. I don't care how much they cost. Okay? Get a copy of the Bible. The other, if you are connected to your phone or your tablet, download a good Bible app. One I recommend is called the YouVersion, YOU, YouVersion Bible app. What I love about it is it's super user-friendly, countless translations, thousands of Bible studies you can do with yourselves, do it with other people to help hold you accountable. It has an audio version, so if you're in a tractor, you're in your car, push play, it'll read it to you. Super user-friendly. Download that app and take it with you every single day. It'll send you a reminder to get on it. The next thing that leads us to is find a translation you can read. Look, we have at our fingertips countless translations. Find one you can read, find one you can understand. I would encourage you as you're reading, and this is what I love about a good Bible app, is you have different translations at your fingertips. Look, you're reading a version, you're reading a scripture, and you're like, I don't really understand that. And take out a different translation. What is the verbiage they're using? How do you understand it there? Find a way that you can read. Because I guarantee it, if you can't read it and understand it, you're going to quit. Find a translation you like. The next thing is start small. Just find a passage. Last week we talked about scripture memorization. Start there. Find a passage you want to connect with. Find a thing and just read that area. Don't just read that passage, but read that chapter maybe. Start small. Find a plan. Again, in a Bible app, find a plan. The next thing is just know yourself. Look, if it takes you 3 cups of coffee and 5 hours to wake up in the morning, probably not a good time. But if you go to bed at 8 p.m., probably not a good time. Know yourself. Know the way and the time, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. Find a time and commit to it. This year, to make it the best year ever, it's going to be up to you. Are you going to choose to make the small steps and commit to the healthy habits that can give you the best year ever? Or are you going to keep doing what you're doing, however you want to do it, and allow anybody and everything else to influence you, to influence your decisions, to influence the way you think, to influence the places you go? So today, as you leave, we're going to give you another practical resource. Every week in the series, we've given you a practical resource. The very first week, we gave you a one-page front and back financial sheet to get you thinking. That is still available if you want it. Last week, we gave you just a basic, again, front and back sheet of scripture memorization to get you started. That's still available. This week, as you go, we've got a quiet time journal. It is really, really easy to use. This is, you don't have to do it this format. You don't have to use it. Our goal is to give you a tool and a resource so it'll get you started. But it is a really great one. If you take one and we run out, we'll print you more. It doesn't matter. Really, really easy. The goal is to create a healthy habit to have the best year ever. And today, we want God to influence us so that we can engage with what we're reading. We can engage with God to help us understand what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do. They're all tools. They're all resources. Use them, okay? If you have questions on anything, you connected with anything, let us know. We want to follow up with you. Make sure you sign up for those events if you want to get a part. I'm going to invite Sarah up. We're going to do one last song. And as we do that, I want to invite you to pray with me. And as we pray, I want to invite you to recognize what is that habit you need to change. Maybe it's through your finances and a healthy view of tithing and saving. Maybe it's through, I don't know, last time I memorized scripture. Maybe in Awana as a kid. Or I don't know, the last time I had a time with God daily. What is that habit you need to change with God to have the best year ever? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. You're so, so good and patient and gracious, but you are powerful and strong. All of these characteristics, I can understand more and more if I connect with you daily. Help me to take the time to set aside, to grow and connect and hear what you have to say to us. Even in those things that are hard to understand, when we come across all those sacrifices that you asked of your people that are given away and set aside now because of your son Jesus, what are you trying to tell the people? What are you trying to get them to know about you, about your heart? And God, help us to share that heart with the people around us, that it would so infiltrate our jobs, our families, our online interactions, the content we take in, all of that, Father. And so thank you for who you are. God, help us to make that one habit this morning and take it on through the rest of this year so we can have the best year ever and we allow you to change us. Father, it's in your holy name that we give you everything. Amen.